Blog Talk Radio.
See, I'm waiting for the recorded live thing to come up here, but we're live now. So
we're live.
Yeah, it is 7 o'clock on the East Coast, which is, we're here in Florida, from Land O'Lakes, Florida, where Wesley Chapel, Tampa area, just to the west coast of Central, anyway. Yeah, we were just talking before the show started, and Ron told me the story, and if he wants to tell it to you, I'll let him tell it to you, but it's all about wine right now, and he can throw in this comment about the what we were just talking about if he wants to. Let me do the you know what? I didn't redo the intro. Well, let me play whatever I have here, and we'll get started with the wine show. It's Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and it's all about wine right now.
Welcome to the call-in talk show that is all about wine, with special guest Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Winery details and event information will be announced during the show. So sit back, relax, and join us with a cool glass of world-class wine produced right here in Florida. Your comments, questions, and dialogue are welcome. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call for free by using the Click to Talk button on our show page, or send questions and comments in our chat room. Registration on Blog Talk Radio is free and only takes a minute. All other listeners may call us by phone. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Tampa listeners may call our local number by dialing area code 813-990-0741. That's 813-990-0741. Finally, if you have Skype, call the show by contacting Chico Dog 1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Call us anytime during this hour-long program. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
Yeah. We don't have... there you go. Forgot that.
There you go. Our crowd.
Yeah. We don't have a really big crowd, although it does sound like we do have a big crowd, but we don't have a big crowd in the front yard today because of all the rains that we had.
Lots of rain.
Yes, and
lots
we had to move about 50 or 60 of them in lawn chairs in the backyard. So if you're in the back, I cannot see you if I look out the window. However, we can hear you here, so you know, feel free to you know whatever you want to do. But so we have the live audience in the front. We have there's like I don't know 5 or 6 people, a couple of them driving by, you know, doing okay, hi. And then we have the main audience is in the backyard this time. So because of the rain and the flooded yards. But we appreciate the rain. let's see. We were just doing a little pre-talk thing before the show starts, and we hear the countdown, and we almost got caught talking.
That's right. Let me tell everyone what
yes.
we were talking about. This is a little background. My son and I were installing locks at his house this past weekend, holiday weekend. He took me out to lunch at a Beef O'Brady's, and I'll give him credit because the waitress there was very good. She came up. We had ourselves some wings and beer. Afterwards, she...
Oh, sorry.
That's good. Thank you, audience. So afterwards, she came up, and she complimented us on the fact that we ate everything, and I thanked her, and I said, did we get a gold star? And she said, you get 2 gold stars. She went over, and she brought me back a little pack of Oreo cookies, a little 2-pack, the kiddie pack, basically, part of the kids' meal. And she said, here. I said, oh, thanks. She said, dip those in your beer. And I said, ooh. And my son went, ooh. And she goes, no, really, dip them in your beer. She said, if you dip them in your beer, hold them in there, get them good and soaked, pop in your mouth, it will taste just like a banana. And we go, nah, come on. She goes, no, try it. So I said, I'm not going to dip it in my glass of beer. So she went and got a little cup, gave me a little cup of beer. And I dipped the Oreo in there and popped it, took a bite out of it, and it didn't taste like a banana. And she goes, no, no, you have to let it sit in there and completely soak. You can't just pop it in there. You got to let it in a long time and be sure the whole cookie is completely soaked, and then put it in your mouth. So I held the other half of my first Oreo in there, got it completely soaked. Little floaties were coming up around it. I was soaking it so well. Popped it in my mouth, and it tasted just like a banana. Unbelievable. It tasted just like a banana. I told my son, this is amazing. He goes, no. And I said, no, really? So I took the next cookie. I broke it in half, and both of us held our cookies in this little cup of beer. And we popped them in our mouths, and he went, oh, my, it does taste like a banana.
That's amazing.
So, it is amazing. So wow. Anybody out there, just regular old American beer. Don't get the stouts and all that stuff. Just, you know, just regular American beer, Buds or Coors or whatever. Mm-hmm. Hold your Oreo cookie in there long enough to get it soaked. Put it in your mouth, and you will be amazed. It tastes like a banana.
That was funny when I heard that. There was no way. And it has to be, don't use the double stuff. Don't use the double stuff.
You know, I think it's the chocolate in the cookie that gives it the taste, not so much the cream. So I would stay away from the double stuff. But it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And it may sound disgusting dipping an Oreo cookie into your beer, but it is.
You know, now I want to go grab that and some wine and try all kinds of stuff. You know?
I'm talking about Cabernet here. You can run out.
We'll come up next week. We'll have all kinds of combinations.
Yeah. And if anyone out there knows any other combinations, hey, you know, email us or fax us or whatever. Let us know.
If you take a shoestring and dip it in the spaghetti pasta taste, that'd be interesting. We'll try all kinds of stuff now.
We'll get all sorts of stuff. But there's since we are a wine program. A lot of people like to take chocolate and dip chocolate into, or not dip it so much as to eat chocolate while they're eating a nice red wine, mm-hmm. or while they're drinking a nice red wine. Cabernets, a good heavy Cabernet and some dark chocolate, supposed to be great combinations. A Zinfandel, a Syrah, Merlot, any of these fine, strong red wines. And some good dark chocolate. I had a Frenchman come into the winery one day, and he told me, he said, you cannot beat a good Godiva chocolate and a good French Bordeaux. He said, it's just a fabulous taste treat. And I don't know, if I get a fabulous French Bordeaux, I have a hard time finding chocolate in my mouth, no matter what it is. They say it's a great combination. Actually, I have three little chocolate chips here next to my Cabernet, so I'm going to take a sip and a bite a little bit later. Hershey's special dark chocolate I've got there.
And that'll go good with the Cabernet.
It's supposed to. Yeah, that's what I will find out, and I will do an on-air report here.
Now, speaking of Cabernet, tonight's topic is
Cabernet.
There you go.
Yeah, and good segue into that. You know how we did that. Yeah.
That was good. Okay. And so, audience could care less or not.
They don't care. They're trying to get out of the rain.
Yeah.
A lot of rain here in Florida in this area the last couple of days.
That was amazing. Okay, so here we go. If you'd like to call in the program, please do so. The Blog Talk Radio phone lines are open, 646-727-3235. Our digital Skype phone is ready for your call as well. At least I hope so. You know, I never tried it with three people in here, but we'll have to, you know, get somebody to call. It's 813-990-0741. That's the number to call. It helps if you're local in Tampa, but you can call that from anywhere. 813-990-0741 to get on the program or call us on the Blog Talk Radio number. That would be great as well. And chat with us in the room. We also have, we have a chatter in there now, so we'll sit there and type and take our notes and everything. So enjoy the program until 8 o'clock. Here's the rest with Ron.
Talking about Cabernet. And actually, while Mike was telling you all the numbers to call, I just tried some nice Cabernet. This actually is a Lindeman Bin 45 Australian Cabernet, very nice Cabernet, 2001 vintage, and I just had a sip of that. I popped some chocolate in my mouth. It is fantastic. It really is a nice combination. So don't be afraid to put some chocolate and chew a little chocolate while you're having yourself a Cabernet.
Excellent.
Speaking of Cabernets, we're going to talk about a Cabernet Sauvignon grape tonight. A little bit of history, a little bit of origins, just more than you ever wanted to know about a Cabernet Sauvignon grape. or maybe you did want to know and you just never took the time to find out. So, Cabernet Sauvignon origins. Let's you know, find out where the Cabernet Sauvignon came from. Really, it's not really understood where the Cabernet Sauvignon originated. The word Sauvignon is thought to be from the French word sauvage, meaning wild. And it actually refers to the grape being a wild vinifera, or Vitis vinifera, which I've talked about the vinifera family of grape, a wild vinifera grape native to France. And recently, though, the grape was thought to have even longer roots than just in France. They've, through genetic, which is just a wonderful thing for grapevines to find out more about them, through genetic testing and stuff, they were thinking maybe it might be referred to as the Biturica grape. It's B-I-T-U-R-I-C-A, Biturica grape, used in ancient Rome. It referred to by Pliny the Elder. It is they're not sure if it really was the Cabernet or not, though, but by all references and by the context of it, it seems to be that it was the Cabernet grape that was found back then. Thinking possibly the Cabernet Sauvignon grape might be a relationship to the Carmenere grape. Now, I've mentioned the Carmenere grape at times, originally grown in France, now grown almost exclusively in Chile, which, by the way, while I'm on the subject of Carmenere, mm-hmm. we had some beautiful Carmenere wine at the winery that we've had for the last 3.5 years. Actually, this is our second order, and previously we had quite a bit of it. So for close to 7 years now, we've had a Carmenere. We are down to 2 cases left, and that's it. I don't think we're going to be getting any more. So if anyone would like to try a delicious Carmenere, now's the time to run out to the winery and pick yourself up one. Then you'll love it, and then we won't have any more, which is a sad way to look at it. But if you get an opportunity, come out to the winery, try the Carmenere. We do still have it. We're still tasting it, although I don't know how much longer we'll still be doing that. As we get low, we do cut back on tasting. So the Cabernet Sauvignon could be some sort of relationship with the Carmenere. The Cabernet Sauvignon name has become more prevalent over being called the Petit Verdure. The Petit Verdure was popular in Bordeaux plantings in the 18th century, and the name Petit Verdure is pretty much faded out, and Cabernet Sauvignon has taken over more as the name of it. Other names for the Cabernet Sauvignon also include Petit Bouchet, Petit Cabernet, Petit Verdure, the Verdure, and the Sauvignon Rouge. Now, I heard something just the other day, speaking of a Sauvignon Rouge. I had an individual who's planted a lot of grapevines in southern Kentucky, and he said that he was looking at seeing what grapes he was going to put in the ground, and he was thinking about a Norton. And a Norton is a nice grape that grows very well throughout the Midwest, and also a Cynthiana. It's was the name known. If you go to Arkansas, you'll find a Cynthiana. If you go to Missouri, you'll find a Norton. I mean, just it's different ones, basically the same grape. More often than not, it's being called a Norton now. But they are doing, University of Kentucky has crossbred the Norton with the Cabernet Sauvignon, and they are calling it a Sauvignon Rouge. Now, earlier names for the Cabernet Sauvignon have been Sauvignon Rouge. I don't know if they understand this or if it's on purpose or what, but they have came up with a cross between the Norton and the Cabernet Sauvignon. I personally love a Norton wine. A Norton grape is a great grape. There is a winery here in Pasco County that does grow the Norton grape. I'll give them a little plug here.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strong power winery. They're located just up 41, U.S. 41 in Pasco County. They're signed right off 41 leading. He does have Norton planted, and they're doing quite well for him, actually. But this combination of a Cabernet Sauvignon and Norton sounds extremely exciting. The individual that was telling me about it said that he tried to get some grapes and they're not, or trying to get some vines and they're not not available. Actually, he said his words to quote were, they're being very stingy with them and not letting anyone take them yet. So I suppose not being available is a good term, but it's something that we could look forward to, which could be something that can be quite exciting, I think, because the Norton is a great grape and it grows quite well, and the Cabernet Sauvignon is a well-known grape and grows quite well. So it's something that we could find on our tables sometime in the future. The grape's origins for the Cabernet Sauvignon were discovered in the late 1990s by use of DNA. University of California, Davis, which is one of the premier viticulture and enology departments in the country, did some DNA testing, and they found that the Cabernet Sauvignon was an offspring of the Cabernet Franc and the Sauvignon Blanc, which was likely to have occurred sometime in the 17th century. They don't know anyone that has done this. Most of the accounts that I've heard and read state that this was done in nature. The plants happened to be growing close to each other, I guess, and they cross-pollinated and developed a hybrid baby, and that was a Cabernet Sauvignon. But the through DNA testing, it is pointing that it is the offspring of Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, hence the name. Now, there's a lot of grapes that have the same basic characteristics of Cabernet Sauvignon that were described for years previous to that. But the Cabernet Sauvignon shows a lot of the characteristics of the Cabernet Franc, and the fact that the black currant aroma and the pencil box, I guess, is a good description too. A sort of a slightly flinty, woody type aroma. Pencil box is a very good description, actually. And then the Sauvignon Blanc usually gives a grassiness. So the combination of those two, you can actually see where the roots of the Cabernet Sauvignon. The Cabernet Sauvignon is actually the king of grapes. It is one of the major grapes, one of the classic grapes that you will find. It is the grape used for the as one of the four main grapes in the Beaujolais blends of France. It is really mostly gives a very strong, heavy type aroma, blackberry, black currant, chocolate, heavy chocolate, tar, leather. These are some of the characteristics that are usually associated with Cabernet Sauvignon. It is a very strong grape, a resilient grape, capable of coming out with all sorts of different styles, but you still have your basic, heavy black currant. I look for the anise, the chocolatey, the blackberry type aromas in a Cabernet, which is almost a dead giveaway every time. Cabernets are usually made in the little bit of a heavier style that brings out that that strong flavors of the black currant, blackberry. Also, you'll find some plumminess in Cabernets, which I find very interesting. Raisiny. Some people find the raisiny to be like bad grapes going. And I don't know. I have a hard time assigning raisiness to a Cabernet simply because I associate raisiny as something that is not a really good factor all the time on Cabernet, but I can understand where people get raisiny from it also. The oak characteristic, Cabernet is oak quite often. They are very very popular grape oak. They will be aged in oak for extremely long periods of time simply because it does take so well to oak aging. Cabernet is put a Cabernet in a large oak barrel and it will bring out all sorts of influences of oak. The during fermentation, you can put run the Cabernet through oak and it'll pick up some of the characteristics of oak there. Even in barrel aging, some Cabernets are aged for many years in oak barrels. What the oak does to a Cabernet is it softens the tannins. Cabernet Sauvignon tends to have some very high, very strong tannins. For many years, a lot of wineries would blend their Cabernet Sauvignon with a Merlot, thinking that people find the tannins so strong and so powerful that it was a turnoff for them. And so with the blending it with a Merlot would give a possibility of that being a much softer, smoother type taste, and you're not going to experience those heavy, strong, in-your-face tannins that the Cabernet Sauvignon would give by itself. The oak usually would give an oak aroma, obviously, but it also give a cedar type aroma, smoke, vanilla. And as an aside here, just if you ever detect a vanilla aroma in any wine, that's usually the oak you're detecting. Oak presents itself as a vanilla aroma and taste in almost every wine that is oaked. Chardonnays are a good example of that. Chardonnay will really bring out the oak, but if you detect some vanilla in a wine, that's not going to be from the grape, that's going to be from the oak aging. So that's something that you can always look for on that. But vanilla is very common for oak. In a Cabernet Sauvignon, we'll back to that. Spiciness is very common to complement the aromas and taste. A tobacco pepperiness, either one of those would tend to bring out in oak of a Cabernet. The oak is usually better if you get oak from French oak in a cab will age better and will give you a little bit better taste. But you can also get oak from domestic, and I say domestic meaning United States. Oregon oak is very popular for Cabernet Sauvignon because it gives it pulls down the tannins quite well and softens the wine, softens that sharpness, that bite that you get in your mouth. Oaks from Missouri, Pennsylvania, Virginia also very good for the cabs. They tend to give a nice soft edge to it, a little bit more vanilla in those than you will find in, especially in the Missouri and Pennsylvania oaks. Oak has been used in cabs for a long, long time. Its influence on cab is almost completely tied in with the cab. Whenever you talk about a Cabernet Sauvignon, your first thought is how long has this been oaked? And I think the reason for that is simply because the cab has been so embedded into us that it is heavy and strong, and not understanding how powerful the cab is, people expect it to be a little bit softer, and the oak is the reason for that. And so the oak does really help balance the wine, soften the wine, and make it much more palatable. The Cabernet Sauvignon can be very complex, and from now on I will say cab, just a shortened term of it, not meaning Cabernet Franc or anything else, but just Cabernet Sauvignon is quite often shortened to cab. Whenever anyone speaks of the Cabernet Sauvignon, it's usually most people usually just say cab, so I will say that from now on. The cab has the complexities of it bring out a coffiness. I've had some Cabernet Sauvignons that were so coffee aroma intense that it was almost sniffing on a cup of Starbucks. I mean, it was amazing. Cabernet, as do most other grapes, will pick up a lot of influence from the soil and from what's growing around them, too. And I think I've mentioned this before in earlier programs. If a vineyard is planted, like in, let's say, Australia, for example, close to an eucalyptus forest or eucalyptus trees, these grapes will tend to pick up a little bit of the characteristics of that eucalyptus. It will bring it out in the aroma and in the taste. If it's planted near coffee plants or stuff like this, it'll bring out a hint of the coffee a little bit more. So grapevines can be influenced by what is planted around them and the influence that this has on the ground, the soil, which the plant will pick up. Styles of Cabernet Sauvignon. There's probably as many different styles of a Cabernet that you're going to find as there are types of wines that you can find to drink. Cabernets can be made in all sorts of ways. Fresh, fruity, easy drinking style. You can find a Cabernet that is so light and fruity. I've heard and I have seen advertised, but I've never tried a white Cabernet, which is something that's becoming more and more popular. The white Cabernet is basically the same as a white Zin, white Merlot, something like that. It is made with taking the skins off of the grape so that you don't have the influence of the skin on it and you're not getting as much coloring into it. So it makes it for a nice light, a blush style, if you will, or rosé style of a Cabernet. This is becoming more and more popular. The white Cabernet has been registered in 1991. The white Cabernet, or it's called a bronze Cabernet, was registered called under the name of Chalistin. And it is a hybrid of the Cabernet Sauvignon that was made in Australia. A little bit different type of taste and stuff. Now, I've never seen one of these. Most of the white Cabernets I see are simply a blush style wine, like a white Zin or white Merlot. But there is actually a white Cabernet out there that lacks the pigmentations in the skin. Hence, it's called a bronze Cabernet. It doesn't have the dark skin, and so any contact with the skin is not going to make much of a difference because it's basically a white grape anyway. While they were in Australia playing around with hybrids and trying to make a stronger Cabernet, the bronze Cabernet came up, or the Chalistin, as it is known, came up, and so it was patented, and the name has actually been given to a white Cabernet. It is more of a gray mutant of the black Cabernet. So one style of Cabernet, lighter, fruitier, great with a bright, fruity taste, easy drinking, not much tannin. People can actually enjoy this one who don't like the heavier types of it. The next style, intense fruit, ripe tannins. This is a lot of flavors, medium body, some tannins, not heavy, not overpowering, but something that would be enjoyable to just to sit back and heavier than the lighter style, the white calves or stuff like that, but yet not the classic, strong, heavy, powerful Cabernets that most people relate to, most of the big-time wine drinkers tend to favor. The softer Cabernet is a good way to start on a Cabernet, good way to enjoy the flavors and taste of the Cabernet. The tannins aren't going to be very strong there. They're going to be there, but it's not going to be the pucker your mouth, make your shoulder shiver type tannins. It'll be a nice little dryness that you can detect slightly and understand a little bit more what tannins are. Another style, referred to as the elegant style, which is medium to full body. These are the ones where you're going to start getting a little bit more complexities. The tannins aren't going to be, again, real, real strong. These are going to have a strong fruit flavors to them. You're going to be able to pick out the black currant, the plumminess, the raisin, the chocolatiness, the coffeeness in this style. But it's not going to be overpowering. It's going to be subtle. It's going to be there. This is the type of Cabernet that you get after aging one for many years. Once you find out how much tannin is in the Cabernet and you put it away and you've aged it under the proper conditions and pull it out as you age it for 10 years and it works out perfectly, you pull it out and you pour it in your glass, you're going to get one of these elegant Cabernets. You're going to get something that's going to have still going to have some nice body to it. It's not going to have overpowering tannins. The tannins will soften a little bit in there during the aging, but it's going to give you all sorts of hints of a variety of different aromas and hints of a variety of different tastes that will just make your tongue dance. It's just this is what happens to a Cabernet that's been aged. And Cabernets have the potential of being aged for long, long periods of time, some for literally hundreds of years.
Wow.
The tannins in them can hold those wines up and keep them strong. Cabernet is probably noted more so than any other grape for its aging potential. The French Beaujolais have a lot of Cabernet in them, and this is what helps age them. Cabernet Franc also, Merlot is also, usually have tannins in it, but the Cabernet grape is great for aging. You drop your Cabernet into an oak barrel, and you start letting this age for a while in the oak barrel, and it starts picking up even more tannins from the barrel and more flavors from the barrel, and then the tannins in the wine start strengthening, and you get that in a bottle, and you put it on the shelf, and it's going to it could sit around there for under the right temperatures and the right conditions. You sit around there for many, many years. I personally have a hard time going out and buying a bottle of wine like that my grandson is going to end up drinking, not me. So I tend to stay away from those long-term aging wines now. But it gives you a lot of complexity. A lot of people like to refer to a lot of people come in and ask at the winery and refer to the wines of Thomas Jefferson. I don't know if anyone recalls that, but a few years ago, that Thomas Jefferson's estates, they found a cellar that was out in the yard, and it had some wine stored in it that had been there since the 1700s, mid-late 1700s, some French Beaujolais and stuff. These were larger bottles. Most of them were Magnums, and a lot of these had Cabernets and Beaujolais, and these were still good. They had the and being in the cellar and the that they were stored in, kept the temperature at a good temperature, and the humidity was low, and the bottles were large enough, and these things aged just absolutely beautifully for a period of time. So it was a good example of what can happen to Cabernets. They can age, and they will age if stored properly and taken care of. So Cabernets have always been noted for their aging ability, and every once in a while you'll hear about somebody who has found one or has one that's been aged, and they talk about the complexities of it and all, and you can really, really tell that as a Cabernet ages. And then the last style of Cabernet is a very highly concentrated fruit, firm tannins, real full-bodied, a lot of fruits, a lot of tannins. This is the type that you will age. This is the ones that you will put away. These are the ones that you, if over a period of time the tannins will dissipate, the fruitiness will come out, it will soften the edges. It won't be that strong, powerful taste that will mellow out a little bit. And but it's to start with. And you know, if you're not a Cabernet fan, stay away from these. You know, start with the softer ones. There are plenty of styles of Cabernet out there. You can start with softer ones and really get yourself some really nice Cabernets that aren't overpowering, and still get the taste of the Cabernets. These full-bodied, heavy ones really are the ones that people look for to age and to put away for a number of years. Cabernet areas that they grow in. Cabernet is a very popular grape. You can the capabilities of growing this grape are just unbelievable. A lot of people try to grow. A lot of people do grow it. If they don't grow it, they get the grape shipped in, and they make the Cabernet wine anyway. Some of the areas that produce most of the Cabernet grapes in North America, the Napa Valley, obviously, we all are aware of that. Columbia Valley, that's another big one. Paso Robles, which is in Central California. California State is state appellation. Alexander Valley, Sonoma Valley, also in California. Niagara Peninsula, a big area there. There's a lot of Cabernet. Some really beautiful Cabernets come out of the Niagara Peninsula. Dry Creek, Yakima, that's in Washington State. These are excellent areas to find some good quality Cabernet. And then the list can go on and on. As I was looking at different things to see where it was growing, I found four full pages, double column of different areas that grow the Cabernet. And these are all AVA's American Viticulture areas or state appellations or something. So a Cabernet is really growing in quite a few different areas. The grape itself, let me tell you a little bit about the viticulture of the grape, a little bit about the grape itself. It is a varietal, and I've explained varietal to, before. Varietal is the name of the grape. Cabernet Sauvignon is the name of the grape. It grows well and influenced by warmth of the climate. The vines are one of the last varieties to bud and one of the last to ripen. Usually a couple of weeks after the Merlot and Cabernet Franc, it is slow on budding. This is one of the reasons why a lot of areas can grow the Cabernet too and not have to worry about late frost. When you get an early bud or an early bud break, you are always in fear of a late frost. It happened throughout the Midwest in 2005, 4 years ago. They had a frost in late April, and it devastated the grapevines there. They were all budding out and everything. Late frost came in, and it did some major, major damage to it. Missouri, for the first time in its history, was destroyed about 95% of their crop. They were granted permission to get grapes from other states around there to get enough wine to put out a Missouri wine that year. And so early bud breaks in cooler areas like that is dangerous. The Cabernet Sauvignon budding late makes it an ideal grape for those areas, so you don't have to worry about the thing budding too soon and then losing if you have a late frost. So this is an advantage there. Again, it typically ripens after the Merlot and Cabernet Franc, and the climate will affect how the grapes are grown and how it's harvested. They many regions of areas in California give the wine a lot of sunshine, and it develops well and grows well. In the Bordeaux region, the Cabernet is harvested a little bit earlier than ideal because of the fact that it does ripen later. There's always that possibility of having late season frost and having problems with it. So the cooler climates, Bordeaux being one of the classic ones, is a they try to pick up the Cabernet a little bit sooner. Global warming has taken effect on Cabernet too. I have to bring that up. It's because of global warming, Cabernet has increased its production substantially in a lot of areas that used to be a little bit cooler regions and stuff. The global warming has affected the time that the grape has to stay on the vine at the end, and they're not picking it earlier, and it is producing a lot more fruit. A Cabernet, they try to keep, most vineyards try to keep their crop to 5 tons an acre. A Cabernet Sauvignon will, if left alone, can produce probably about 7-8 tons per acre, but then it starts affecting the quality of the fruit if you let it go that long, because the plant is putting so much effort into so many grapes as opposed to cutting it back and letting it only affect the 5 tons as opposed to the extra couple tons an acre. Cabernet ripeness level usually yields a good quality, good flavors of the Cabernet. You look for the ideal sugar, the ideal sugar content in Cabernets, and because they ripen so well and they ripen pretty consistently, then it's usually gives a nice balance on the Cabernet. I talked about phylloxera. Cabernet is planted on rootstock. It grows very well on one particular rootstock called the SO4. Cabernet is just very prolific and takes quite well to that particular rootstock, and it's never been never had a problem because of it. And back in the 70s, they were doing some cloning, and they cloned a Cabernet that was virtually virus-free. They found one that was very high yields and was just coming out with some a tremendous amount of fruit because there was no virus, nothing that was causing any problems. So they started to cut back on those plants and give it less vigorous rootstock, and so that the grapes wouldn't go crazy and lose the quality of the wine and the grape by having too much on it. The Cabernet Sauvignon gives a lot of a green pepper or bell pepper flavor, and this is usually because the grape is underripe. If you find a Cabernet that has a very distinct bell pepper, green pepper. I say bell pepper. My wife is a big fan of the yellows and the greens and the oranges and the reds, and so I can't just say bell pepper, because I have discovered that bell peppers can be quite sweet, like the oranges and the yellows. But the green pepper, the green bell pepper, tends to give a unique taste and aroma, actually. If you start detecting that in a Cabernet, it's usually because it was picked a little bit early. And this is not to say that it's bad. I mean, some people find it refreshing. They like that, and some people don't. So, but just to educate you, if you do start detecting this greeniness, the green pepper, bell pepper type taste in a cab, that's usually because it has been picked a little bit early. Mike, I'm going to let you make any announcements. I'm going to have a sip of wine here and, okay, and relax my voice for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just looking at the chat room, and let's see, we have, is it Bink Rules on there? It says, you were talking, he mentioned that his favorite wine, it looks like it's an 04 Kendall Jackson Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that we did the show on June 4th about the Chardonnays, and he also likes hearing about the history. Gives it some style and is interesting to talk about. So, and I told him, you know, yeah, we do cover the history. So it's
yeah.
on our archives, on our current show. And then we have, how much time do we have? Because we do have the Wine Fest coming up this Saturday. I don't know when you want to get into that. But, yeah, there's
well, let me wrap up here pretty
sure.
quickly. And then,
yeah.
then I'll give you some time to do that. And thank you for your I am there. I appreciate that. I try to give a demystify some of these grapes a little bit and tell you what they are about. So I'm glad you enjoy it. Food and the Cabernet Sauvignon. You get your fresh light Cabernets. Drink them with aperitifs, light cheeses. You don't want something too heavy, obviously. You start getting your intense fruity Cabernets, your ripe tannin Cabernets, lamb or venison, game. They say lamb, venison. I like to include all game. I saw advertised the other day that you can actually order, elk, buffalo, just unbelievable, all these different things that you can have shipped to you so you can make a meal out of it. And your cab would go well with all that stuff. Wild boar, the ranch out there where the winery is, a lot of wild boar running around. That's cabs would go well with that. You get your very firm tannin, your higher concentrated fruit and stuff like that. Then your red meats. Pull out your steaks, drop it on the grill, and get the thing cooked up, and have your heavy cabs with that. That's just absolutely a delicious combination. And then for your elegant cabs, the ones that's been aged, and you've got those things balanced out, and they're where you want to drink them, and they're just absolutely delicious. Get a fillet of beef, a beef tenderloin, game dishes, pheasant, quail. And those go real well with that. The little bit of gaminess. And again, you notice that all these, a little bit in the gaminess I've been talking about here. The regions, again, Bordeaux, California, Washington State, Australia, Argentina, Italy, Chile. Just about everywhere in the world, you can find yourself a Cabernet. They are an extremely prolific grape. It's a wonderful grape that is used quite often. The bunch is a long bunch, very dark purple color to it. I've tasted Cabernet grapes off the bunch. They're horrible. They're very, 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 very acidic. Cabernet Sauvignon is noted for health reasons, too. Resveratrol, the health component found in red wines, has been noted to really improve health. Recently, they found that it helps reduce the risk factors associated with Alzheimer's disease. It has been shown to help lower blood pressure, help lower cholesterol. It's been shown to help heart attacks and strokes. Recent reports have shown that it can increase longevity of life. There's all sorts of things, health benefits of red wines. And Cabernet, being one of the classic red wines, it is right up there that will help keep you healthy. There's helps reduce levels of beta peptides, which attacks the brain cells during causing onset of Alzheimer's. So there's lots of reasons to enjoy Cabernet Sauvignon, but it's just a wonderful grape. You can go on and on about the Cabernet, and I won't, because we're going to be talking about other stuff the last 10 minutes here. But best way to enjoy a Cabernet is go out and get yourself one, open it up, and taste it. Make yourself notes. That I emphasize that every time you have a glass of wine. Make yourself a few notes. Before you know it, then those notes you won't even have to refer to, because you're going to start remembering stuff and all that. But as you enjoy different wines, make yourself notes. You don't have enough time in life to remember and taste everything, so it gives you a good referral on so you can go back and look at your notes. But right. Cabernet Sauvignon.
Very good. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, there they
Thank
are.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, as I reported, they are in the backyard, and because the front yard is swamped right now, there's only like four or five people in the front.
Yeah.
The rest of the 30 or 40 people are in the back and driving by, waving. Let's see. We do. Yeah, that's very interesting. And let's see. We have. Do we have any other notes on that for? Okay, for the chat. Let's see. We have. You have at the winery this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah, I'm looking at, okay, my main page just went out.
Oh.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's see. Let me go back to my switchboard just went out. That's okay. Let's see if we're still here. The this weekend is July 11th. Yes, July 11th, and from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Florida Estates Winery is Wine Fest. And let's see, I have one change. Your musician this time is Greg Jones.
Greg Jones. Greg Jones used to play for us an awful lot. Greg Jones has been busy out of town and stuff like this. And I've always enjoyed Greg Jones. Greg Jones is very good. He's comparable to the other musicians we always get in. He is a guitarist and a singer, and he does an excellent job. I've always, again, I've always enjoyed Greg's music and his abilities, and he will be with us this weekend.
Excellent.
And it's been a while since he's been there, so if you haven't been out for a while and you remember Greg, come on out and listen to him again.
Yeah, definitely.
He's very good.
You also have, let's see, Dave will also have his artistic writing instruments and other unique items that he crafts from wood. He'll be out there again. Minna? Let's see, she's going to be there with stained glass objects and jewelry. Let's see, Diane and Lonnie will be returning for hand-painted wine glasses and bottles.
Those are really neat, too. Those nice gifts. Nice gifts if somebody's looking for a unique gift.
Very cool. Very nice. Let's see, Teresa and John, let's see, they're going to be serving up some hot dogs with toppings like chili, cheese, red onions, in sauce, sauerkraut with caraway seed and sweet green relish. You have to go check that out, definitely. Rosemary's going to be there with stationery. Let's see, she has a business called Quiet Hearts Cards, so definitely go check that out. All items are handcrafted, and, of course, they can be customized by order. Anyway, Rosemary's going to be there with that. Ginny's going to be there with Avon, including the new 7-in-1 lipstick, as well as the latest men's and women's fragrances. There's going to be sale prices, stock up on Skin So Soft and shower gels, and it's going to be great. You need to check out Wine Fest. That is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. this coming Saturday, July 11th. And you also have the next one on July 25th. And in August, you have two, August the 15th and August the 29th. Next week, July 18th, you have another wine class. And folks, if you're interested in wines, you want to learn everything about wine, you want to sample it, it's a great time. You go out to the winery on July 18th for the wine class, and you talk about everything, the history, the grapes, the aging, how to do a proper tasting and the ratings and scoring system, and then of course my favorite part is you get to sample it, and you have snacks and everything out there, and you also have a logo glass logo glass.
Yeah, get to keep a logo glass. Pass outs. I have a bunch of pass outs for you to take with you. Reference pass outs.
Just a wonderful time.
It's fun. I've always enjoyed. We have surprises for you. We have snacks. So
excellent, very good. So that's July 18th for the wine class, and but this coming Saturday, July 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. is Wine Fest. Go out to the winery, and let me give you the address directions. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52. That is in Land O'Lakes, Florida. If you're on Interstate 75, you get out on exit 285, that is State Road 52, and head west. Okay, you head west about 4 miles. You pass, Bellamy Brothers Boulevard. There's a Neon Cowboy deal there. You go past that, and then on the right-hand side, just look for the signs, and you turn down the road down there, and you go right to the winery. Plenty of parking. If you have a large group, call them. I think they'd appreciate that. But you can take a large group there. There's plenty of area out there to park, and it's just great. You can go out there, especially to check it out this Saturday. Give it a shot and enjoy some wine. Do the wine tasting there. And head out and visit with the vendors and everything out in the back there. It's great. It's underneath the large oak trees. It's shaded back there, and plus the winery is air conditioned, so you know it's comfortable. It's great. And there's going to be live music
in grass today. So that's
yeah, where's my?
I'll save
the applause. Let's see. Yeah, give the winery a call at 813-996-2113. That is the Florida State's Winery, 813-996-2113, or email corp at floon.com, floon.com, as in Florida State's Winery. And visit the website. They got a beautiful website with photos, so you can see the events, see the winery from the website. And you can also sign up for their newsletter, which comes out before the Wine Fest and gives you information. Plus, there's recipes, there's wine tips, there's all kinds of information in the newsletter. You want to check it out. Go to the website, FloridaEstatesWines.com, FloridaEstatesWines.com, and visit the website. It's a beautiful website, and it'll give you all kinds of information, group information. If you want to hold a wedding, reception, weddings, any kind of major events that you have for your groups, go to the website for information, call them, email, and very easy to work with, and just a great bunch of people. It's a great time, and always enjoy the winery there, so check that out. You also mentioned the Strong Tower at the beginning of the show. And
yeah, Strong Tower Winery right up the street. They're a very nice winery.
Yeah. I looked. Let's see. They are like, if you go continue on to, I think, 41 or something, you go north, I think, 8 miles. They're a little ways out there, but, it's also a neat location. I haven't been there myself, but.
It's a nice little winery. He's got some vineyards in the back. He's only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm not sure, but he's limited time. He's not open 7 days a week. But Strong Tower, some real nice wines. Nice person there.
Excellent.
Terry is the winemaker there, and he does a very nice job.
Okay, excellent. We're going to – so I'll just mention that again. And I don't have anybody on hold. We only have about 2 minutes left, so I'll probably go ahead and close the show for now. But keep in touch with us. Keep us on Blog Talk Radio. Become our friends. I think we have Bink Rules is one of our people following us now, or one of our friends on the program. So thank you for chatting with us in the chat room. And
Next week we're going to talk about a country. I think we're going to talk about Italy next week.
Oh, good.
We're going to talk a little bit about Italy and the wines and the regions of Italy and try to bring up some of that stuff and explain a little bit about it and try to demystify some of these other countries a little bit here. So,
well, that'll be interesting. That's my homeland. So.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Well, I was born in Texas, but I'm Italian.
No. So it was southern Italy.
Yeah, there you go. Near the Alamo, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody out there listening, if you want to comment on the show itself, let us know. It's podcast@chicodog.com. You can email. Oh, I hate it when it does that. 90 seconds. You can also call the regular number, the 990-0741, 24 hours a day. That's area code 813.
Facebook. Florida State Winery on Facebook. You can pop in and talk and visit there.
Oh, yeah. We follow your updates on there as well. You can let us know who's visiting, and you know it's always a great day at the winery. And I don't know if that's one of your catches, but I see that, so that's cool. Open daily 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Except major holidays. Although you were open July 4th, cool. So visit anytime, 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Florida Estates Winery, Land O'Lakes, Florida. 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52 or 21 miles east of US 19.
That's right.
You can get there from anywhere. And we have about 30 seconds. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you Thursday at 7 p.m. And we'll talk about Italy. I got to get some Italy music now. So.
Talk about Italy. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
I don't have the. Oh, there it is.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com.
Okay, done. Thank you. Wow, that was all that got out. I'm going to have to shorten
that. Cut us all there. That's, we're done.
That's fine. All right. Well,
thank you.